So we wish you a Merry Krishna. And a happy Hanuman. So I'm going to read from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 12, text number 8. Maeva mana dasa mai buddhi niveshaya ivashi shashima eva atorvam nasamshayaha. Just fix your mind upon me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and engage all your intelligence in me. Thus you will live in me always without a doubt. So please repeat. Just fix your mind upon me.
Just fix your mind upon me.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Supreme Personality of Godhead.
And engage all your intelligence in me.
And engage all your intelligence in me.
Thus you will live in me always.
Thus you will live in me always.
Without a doubt.
Without a doubt.
Purport. One who is engaged in Lord Krishna's devotional service lives in a direct relationship with the Supreme Lord. So there is no doubt that his position is transcendental from the very beginning. A devotee does not live on the material plane. He lives in Krishna. The holy name of the Lord and the Lord are non-different. Therefore, when a devotee chants Hare Krishna, Krishna and his internal potency are dancing on the tongue of the devotee. When he offers Krishna food, Krishna directly accepts these edibles, and the devotee becomes Krishna eyes by eating the remnants. One who does not engage in such service cannot understand how this is so, although this is a process recommended in the Gita and other Vedic literatures. So again, Maeva mana dasva mai buddhi niveshaya Vivashi Shashimam Eva Adoravam Nisamshayaha. Just fix your mind upon me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and engage all your intelligence in me, thus you will live in me always without a doubt. Om Vishnu Vraya Krishna Pristaipute Srimade Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasatundeve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatya De Siddharane. Here it says that there is, as soon as we engage in devotional service and become conscious of Krishna, then we're actually in a direct relationship with Krishna. Of course, this is not the end of this particular sequence of verses. Krishna in the next verse says, Atachitam samadhatum nashakshno simai stiram abhyasena yogena tito mam ichchantim dhananjaya. If you cannot fix your mind upon me without deviation, then follow the regulations of bhakti yoga, sadhana bhakti. In this way, try to develop a desire to obtain me. In other words, the material consciousness that we're presently in is based on desire. And our spiritual consciousness that we can develop is also based upon desire. One desire is desiring something in the three modes of material nature, which has endless varieties. And the other desire is to utilize this present existence and utilize it in Krishna's service. That also has endless varieties, but one brings us to the platform of becoming conscious of Krishna, and the other one brings us into one of the modes of material nature. Now, the conditioned soul generally cannot understand what is the value of fixing the mind upon Krishna, because the conditioned soul can't fix his mind upon Krishna. And even if someone who's like Kamsa can think of Krishna constantly, but his intelligence is not in order, because he doesn't really understand who he is or who Krishna is. And therefore, such fixing the mind upon Krishna without understanding things properly is not as not so valuable. Therefore, the beginning of sadhana bhakti is hearing. And there's a lot to hear, especially to hear in the beginning how to become patiently hearing. Because the conditioned soul is not very patient. After all, the conditioned soul believes that we only have maybe at the most 100 years, maybe 90, maybe 80, maybe 70, maybe less. And therefore we're always anxious what's going to happen in the future. Although we know what's going to happen in the future, that's why we're always anxious to accomplish our God plan in the present. Everyone has a God plan. The God plan is, I'm going to become a controller. I'm going to control something here so I can enjoy it. And after I control and enjoy something, either I become liberated from it, and I teach everyone else they should become liberated from this tendency to control and enjoy, and therefore I become everyone's savior, because I realize the truth. You shouldn't hanker and lament. Or I hanker and lament, or I think that somehow or another, because I'm helping people hanker and lament, therefore I'm also their savior. When I'm fulfilling people's desire to get something, I say I'm they're a good friend. When I help people enjoy, I'm their friend. And when I help people give up enjoyment and controlling, I'm also their friend. So ultimately, I'm everyone's friend. Whoever surrenders unto me, I reward them accordingly. And even though as I chastise some people, it's because they don't realize I'm their friend. By chastising them, I'm actually helping them. So basically speaking, if we don't choose Krishna consciousness, we have to choose some kind of illusion. And in that illusion, everyone thinks they're a good person. It doesn't matter who they are, just like Two Gun Pete. You've heard of Two Gun Pete? No? You haven't read the Bhagavatam? It's not in the Bhagavatam. Well, Two Gun Pete, he was a famous killer in Chicago in the 1920s. He was famous because he would always kill his victims with two guns. And one day he was on Lover's Lane in Madhurya Rasa, who was his girlfriend. And one unlucky policeman showed his flashlight into the car. Two Gun Pete took this as a maha aparad. Some demon was interfering with Madhurya Rasa. So obviously he took his gun and he shot the policeman. But he was a little concerned that his reputation would be spoiled because he only shot him with one gun. So he got out of the car and took the policeman's gun and shot him again to protect his reputation. Of course, the other policemen, because they didn't understand the exalted qualities of Two Gun Pete, decided to chase him. And they chase him into a house where there's a final shootout between Two Gun Pete and the police. And Two Gun Pete realized that this is coming to the end of the Leela, Antya Leela. And so he decided to write a note to his mother. And he wrote his note to his mother and said, "Dear Mom, actually I'm a nice person. People just misunderstand me. Please take care of the cat. You're a son, Petey. Two Gun Petey." So that was the end of his pastimes. So he thought he was a nice person. What to speak of everyone else? Everyone thinks whatever they do, they have to do it for the benefit of others. Because Narayana Muni, he once went to a robber and a killer and said, "Why are you robbing and killing for?" And he said, "For my family, because they love me. I have to provide for them." I have to provide for them. So Narada Muni said, "Are you sure? Because you're going to suffer for so many sinful reactions for what you're doing. Are you sure you want to go through all this trouble?" He said, "No, they love me." So he said, "All right, let's test it out. Why don't you go to your wife, tell her that you've been robbing and stealing and killing, you're going to, in order for her benefit, you're going to get so many sinful reactions because of it. Maybe she'd be willing to share some of your sinful reactions." So he went to his wife and said, "My dear wife, I know you love me so much. You want the best for me. Now I've been robbing, stealing, and killing in order to benefit you and the family, but I'm going to have to suffer from so many sinful reactions. Would you please take some of my sinful reactions?" She said, "My dear husband, you're very kind. You're giving us whatever we want, but we don't want your sinful reactions. You can keep those."
"We'll take everything."
So he was a little disappointed, but he figured, "My children, they must love me." So he went to his children and told him the same thing. "You know, I've been doing so many sinful activities for your benefit. Can you please take some of the reactions?" They said, "Look, Dad, we like what you give us, but everything else we don't want. Just get lost." So that was quite frustrating. So finally he went to his dog, who is obviously the most faithful, told him the same thing, and his dog bit him. So then he was completely frustrated. He realized, "If my dog is not willing to do anything for me, all is lost." So he renounced everything and chanted Hare Krishna. So in the material world, everyone is expecting something that they're not going to get. And in the spiritual world, in other words, we have to hanker, we have to lament. In the material world, we're hankering for something which is impossible to get, we're always lamenting because we can't get it. So that's called madness. To try to get something you can't possibly obtain and then lament for not being able to get it is called madness. So that's material existence. And in the meantime, they give so many rewards and titles to all the mad people to encourage them. Otherwise, it would be very discouraging here if no one recognized how crazy we were. But if one hankers for Krishna and laments that we don't have Krishna, then the result will actually get Krishna. And if we become conscious of Krishna, then Krishna is the actual reservoir of bliss and pleasure. Therefore, Krishna tells us we should fix our minds upon him. And of course, this is the whole theme of the Bhagavad Gita. This is the theme of the Padma Purana, Smarta Vyaksitatam Vishnu Vismaktak Jatunakinjit. Why? Because Krishna is pleasure himself. He is the unlimited reservoir, ocean of pleasure. And as soon as we become conscious of him, who is a reservoir of pleasure and love, then we become conscious of everything and everything as being actually a source of pleasure and love. And if we're not, as much as we're not conscious of Krishna, then we see everything as a source of pain and hate or distaste, whatever. Therefore, Krishna says, yeah, we should use our intelligence. So to use our intelligence, we have to hear. Machita, machkata, prana, bodhi, antash, parashpara. But what should we hear about? We should hear about Krishna. We should hear about how wonderful Krishna is, how wonderful it is to become conscious of Krishna, how to become conscious of Krishna. And on the other side, we have to find here how it's going to be very unfortunate if someone doesn't hear about Krishna, if someone doesn't understand Krishna, if someone doesn't become determined to serve Krishna, if someone doesn't serve Krishna, if someone doesn't realize Krishna, then their life is being wasted. So that philosophy we have to understand so that we don't have doubts. And because what are doubts? Doubts is simply the justification for not thinking about Krishna. The thinking that there's something better than thinking about Krishna. To think that there's something better than serving Krishna. Or that I serve Krishna, I chanted my 16 rounds, as Prabhupada once did. He finally put down this counter bead, 16 rounds, and then threw his beads on the desk. He said, I've chanted my 16 rounds, and now I can do any damn thing I want. So that tendency to think that there's some other activity better than serving Krishna, that I've accumulated so many pious activities, my material success in the heavenly planets is assured, why do I have to exert myself anymore? So once you become convinced that Krishna is an unlimited ocean of pleasure, is that the same one as last year? Maybe.
Baby.
Oh, the baby. Maybe.
I don't know how to sneak in.
Well, one of them came last year. Maybe he told them before you threw him. Yes, yes. Or he gets some prasadam. Probably the prasadam more than listening. So, the Krishna being the reservoir of pleasure, if we actually can experience a little bit of that pleasure, then we'll at least we'll know in the right, we're on the right track, and that what the purpose of existence is, to reestablish our relation with Krishna. And everyone has the same purpose, to reestablish their relation with Krishna. There is no one who doesn't have an eternal relation with Krishna, because factually speaking, either we came from the spiritual world or not, but we always had to be with Krishna. It's not possible to do anything without Krishna. We can't go anywhere, we can't experience anything, we can't think of anything without Krishna's assistance. Because everything we're doing right now is a relation with Krishna. We can't be apart from our relation with Krishna. The only thing is what kind of relation we want with Krishna, either an indirect one through his material energy, or a more direct one through his spiritual energy. Our only choice is to choose to what degree we want to be involved in one of the two energies. And ultimately, we can choose to be completely involved in the spiritual energy and have the most direct relation with Krishna, or we can choose to have a completely indirect relation with Krishna through the external energy. But we can't help but have a relation with Krishna. Therefore, our acharyas are telling us, hear about Krishna so we can develop our spiritual intelligence. And what is that spiritual intelligence? It's to learn how to hear. And what is learning how to hear? Hear in such a way as we understand what we're hearing about. We understand that we're actually eternal. We understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That we understand that we have an eternal relation with Krishna. And here in such a way is we know what we're supposed to do in order to revive that relation with Krishna. And not only here in such a way as we know what to do to revive our relation with Krishna, we become inspired and determined to actually do something to revive that relation with Krishna. And not only do that, but we're actually doing it. We're actually engaging our mind and senses in the service of Krishna. And not only we're engaging our mind and senses in the service of Krishna, but we're actually developing, by intimate association with Krishna, we're developing all the godly qualities that happen when we're actually in contact with Krishna. And therefore we become a better and better instrument for Krishna's purpose. And Krishna's purpose is that we and everyone else will go back to the spiritual world and live eternally in our relationship with Krishna. Not through his material energy, but directly in loving service to Krishna. So even if we don't understand, even if we don't believe, even if we have no experience, still anyone who comes in contact with Krishna through chanting or through prasadam, or through somehow or another comes in contact, they'll become benefited. But we shouldn't think that all benefit is the same. Aranyakashipu came into intimate contact with Krishna. Matter of fact, he was almost like Krishna's son. He was put on Krishna's lap. But he was not able to develop the proper mood, and therefore, after he got some problems, stomach problem, he had to leave his body, and he didn't necessarily go back to the spiritual world at once, because he couldn't remember the person who caused him a few problems, and therefore he came back again and was quite upset with Krishna when he came back. Anyhow, Krishna took care of that, gave him a clean shave, and he gave up his animosity towards Krishna also. In any case, there's favorable, there's unfavorable, there's in between, there's bewildered relation with Krishna, there's endless varieties. But if we want a loving relation with Krishna, we can also achieve that through pure devotional service. So we're distributing Krishna consciousness because that's Krishna's desire. He wants everyone to become Krishna conscious. And if we want to become Krishna conscious, we also have to distribute Krishna consciousness. We also have to become conscious of Krishna, otherwise why would we want to distribute Krishna? If we don't experience ecstasy when we're chanting Hare Krishna, or at least some kind of pleasure, or relief from distress, or some kind of something positive, then why will we give it to someone else? Why will we tell anyone else to chant Hare Krishna? And if we actually experience something wonderful when we're chanting Hare Krishna, how will we not tell everyone else about Krishna? What better thing is there to tell people about the chanting and the method of japa, or the method of reading Prabhupada's books, or something in relation that helps us become conscious of Krishna? So if we become actually conscious of Krishna, if we know the process of becoming conscious of Krishna, if we develop the qualities to help others become conscious of Krishna, then certainly Krishna will be pleased upon us and will make progress in devotional service. And at the same time, one has to become humble. Without realizing that when one actually comes under the influence of the internal energy of Krishna, then one realizes one is not doing anything. One is simply desiring. And by the mercy of Guru and Krishna and their representatives, they're arranging things in such a way as we can increase our desire. And increase our desire means to realize that we're dependent upon Krishna. And to realize that we're dependent upon Krishna means that we have to realize we're not dependent on the material energy. We're only depending upon Krishna. And therefore, we should realize we're without Krishna's mercy, without mercy of Krishna's devotees, that our life is hopeless and helpless. And if we think I have something to fall back on in the material world, something will protect me here, if worse comes to worse, I do have a cat that loves me, or a dog that loves me, and if I disappear, at least they'll remember it, they'll take note of it. My master has disappeared. Ye anilo premadana karuna. That he was the ocean mercy to me. I miss him. And therefore, in the separation, I'm appearing in other people's feelings of separation, because I'm absolute, I appear in their heart, and I live forever in my followers' hearts. So such an illusion we should try to give up. As Prabhupada used to say, Napoleon, he was trying to help France, vive la France, trying to make France the center of everyone's attention. He expanded his empire, and French people still love him. They have a statue of Napoleon, and every year they have a big ceremony where they worship him. The maintenance people climb up on his statue, and they clean all the offerings that the birds made during the year to the statue. And once a year they they honor Napoleon because Napoleon is France, and France is Napoleon. And after that, then the birds come back, and they begin offering Napoleon their remnants again. And for all we know, one of those birds could even be Napoleon. So Prabhupada said, France is there. Napoleon said, I am France. But where's Napoleon? No one knows where Napoleon is. So to think that somehow or another we're going to make our mark in this material existence, as countless souls have tried to do since time immemorial, and no one knows anything that they've ever done. According to the Bhagavatam, at one time, Chaitanya Charitamrita, at one time, all of us were either Brahma, a some Brahma, or we were highly placed demigods. And who remembers when they were Brahma? And if we did, we'd be very disturbed right now. I worked so hard to become Brahma, and where am I now? And we were also worms in stool at one time. So we've been up and down like a roller coaster, and we've accomplished absolutely nothing. And if we think we're going to accomplish something material here, get our name on some plaque. Or we're going to become recognized, get our names in the newspaper or in the radio, or when we go to school, get a gold star in our book. We think that's actually going to help us. Well, we're wrong. We've done this time and time for millions and countless lifetimes. And we wound up here again. Therefore, the best thing to do is try to become convinced that the Krishna consciousness movement is not some ordinary activity, some option we have. For those who can't make it in the material world, they try to make it in the Hare Krishna movement, so at least they get a place to sleep and some prasadam to eat. And all they do is have to smile and chant Hare Krishna. And somehow or another, the devotees throw food at them, or serve food. No, we should understand that this is the most valuable movement, this is the most important movement, because it's one thing everyone has in common. We're all Krishna's eternal servants. And if we, as much as we can understand who we are, who Krishna is, what the process of becoming Krishna conscious, then our lives are valuable. And if we try to distribute that to others, we can make other people's lives valuable too. Otherwise, everything else is a waste of time. So again, we wish you a Merry Krishna, because without a Merry Krishna, then there's not going to be a happy Hanuman. So we'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Okay, so this, what time is prasadam? What's the next program?
Prasadam is ready whenever.
Okay. So I have a question. How many would like to take prasadam? Raise your hands. How many too weak to raise their hand because they haven't eaten enough today? After all, it was a fast day. All right, so we'll stop there and we'll. Hopefully, we'll get some prasadam. Grantaraj, Bhagavad Gita, ki jai. Srila Prabhupada, ki jai. Gaur Premande, Thank you.